Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is June 5. June 5. It's Monday. It's 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How you doing today?
Just perfect. Happy Monday.
Well, you too. You too. Hope you had a great weekend.
Same old, same old, same old.
Well, you're over the hangover, though. It's all matters.
Yeah, I know. It takes me a couple days.
Monday is the fastest day of the week. You get off on Friday and tomorrow's Monday. It's just the way it goes.
It is.
You know, it is. That way all my life. But anyway, it's good to be here. Good to be able to get around a little bit and feel good. So praise God for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go ahead and take a peek at gold. Gold today up $14 at $1,963. Silver was down just a couple pennies at $23.67. Platinum was up $24 at $1,039. Palladium was down $1,439. The USDX today is down 0.04, 103.99. Crude oil was up 71.80. It came up. This is just showing up 6 cents for the day, but I believe it had a bigger, I'm not quite sure when this market indicator, it could be a little delayed. So let's go ahead and take a peek at the paper markets today. The Dow was down 200 points, 33,563. S&P was basically unchanged, slightly lower, 4,273. NASDAQ, same thing, 11 points, 13,229. Europe was all negative, but just fractionally. Asia was positive. Had some big moves in the past couple of days, and then both the Nikkei was up 2.25% today. 10-year yield. It's up just a little bit, 3.69, up 0.002. 71.84. Oil was just up just a little bit, but it did rise after the Saudis pledged more voluntary production cuts. And I don't know if you're going to, but I saw where they're cozying up to Venezuela.
America has been left on the sidelines, and that's just
we certainly have. They can't, and that's the problem is America's got too much debt to be able to go and do the things that these other nations are doing. So if people want to know why, it's because of our debt. That's why we're going down the tubes. But you'll never hear a politician say that.
No, no, no.
So natural gas was up, oh, 3.25%, 2.25. So, you know, there's just, you know, I think it was just a typical Monday morning when it's pretty much just come to, finance markets and so forth. Nearly 4,000 people lost their jobs last month just because of AI. I don't know if you have that, Butch.
No, I don't have that one.
Yep. Almost 4,000 people. This is from the first time AI has been listed in the monthly report from Challenger Grand Christmas. Some 3,900 of the over 80,000 job cuts that took place in May were attributed to AI. This is just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. Just the beginning. So, I think that was probably the only sign we saw today about job losses, or that I at least saw today.
You know, I'm probably a little bit old-fashioned, and people probably think I'm nuts, but I will not check myself out at a counter in the store. I want somebody to wait on me. I want somebody to have the job to do that, not a computer. I'm not going to do their work for them. I want somebody there to wait on me. I can take care of, give me some service, and give them a job. I will not check myself out. I know one day probably that's going to put me in a bind, but so far it's worked. If nobody's at the counter, I find somebody. Now, I know that sounds really strange to some people, Melody, but I got a problem with that. I don't like to see people out of work because they got a self-checkout line. I don't like that at all.
Well, you know, I was pretty much the same way. But then I figured these people don't care about their jobs. Why should I? But then give me a discount, because we're paying for people to bag our groceries.
Yes,
we're paying for people. You know, that's in the price. So, you know, but there are times, and there's only certain places I will do it when I go to Walmart, because I just have to. It's because when I go to Walmart, I just want to get in and out as soon as possible. So there I will do. But at the grocery store and everything else, nope, I go through the lines, make them work.
I just have a hard time doing that for a couple of reasons. Like I said, I want somebody to wait on me because that's what I'm in there for. I'm giving the business. I want some service. And I want to see somebody else having the job. I mean, you walk in the store and they got a big store with two people working. They're understaffed. Can't find anybody to tell you what you need to find, something, anything else. It's just, I don't like that. I know it's coming. It's going to get worse. I was told quite a while back by a banking friend of mine that one day you'll be lucky to have two people in the bank. They'll be done by whatever, kiosk or whatever you want to call them. They'll be done by, there'll be nobody there to wait on you. I know that's coming. I don't like it. I know I can't stop it, but I can protest until then anyway. So I just don't like that.
I agree.
But there are a lot of things about this country more I don't care much for, quite honest with you. So that's probably one of the least of everybody's problems. But we are in a mess in this country for a lot of different reasons. This first article I want to share in a minute is something that we knew it had to happen, and now they're actually writing about it. But the American cities are just powder kegs waiting to blow up because of chaos with the illegals in this country. They are powder kegs. You're about ready to blow up. People are getting angry. And, I mean, we have illegals now literally destroying police cars, writing graffiti on them, breaking out their windows, and they're doing nothing to them. It's just unbelievable. Better go ahead. Before you start now, you go ahead.
No, I mean, you know, that's fine. I mean, you started that, so just continue. That's fine.
I mean, it's irritating beyond words. You and I both know we'd help anybody that was hungry. But when they bring in illegals by the thousands and give them everything they want, and then they tear up public property and not even arrested for it, there's something very wrong with that. We have to know this is a planned scenario, Melody. This isn't something everybody says, oops, I didn't know that was going to happen. They knew it was going to happen. They planned for it to happen. And Sarko said, Could we soon see riots breaking out across U.S. and major urban areas as we saw in the summer of 2020, or even worse? With the dramatic influx of migrants crossing the U.S. border from Mexico for the past many months, with many of them being transported to large cities, not only are riots and civil unrest likely, they are almost inevitable due to U.S. government policy that is funding this crisis. An independent reporter known as Save Says just published a video report about the migrant crisis in New York City, where she reports that 50%, now listen to this, 50% of the hotels in New York City are now filled with migrants. 50%, Melody. She interviewed a whistleblower from one of these hotels, the ROC, the Road in New York City, R-O-W-N-Y-C, which is just one block away from Times Square, and currently houses 5,000 migrants in rooms that used to rent out for $500 a night. This is very disturbing. This is a very disturbing report. These migrants are afforded more rights and privileges than U.S. citizens, including the right to refuse vaccines before they are boarded at a hotel. And the whistleblowers say that most of the migrants refuse the vaccines. But if all of their medical needs are supplied for free at local hospitals, as is their transportation, the whistleblowers say that two to three babies a week are being born in a hotel, and they are offered free car seats and cribs. Besides a free hotel room, they get free housekeeping and laundry services and three free meals a day. The condition of this big New York City hotel, as reported by the whistleblower, is horrible and characterized by drunken orgies and minors being left alone for sometimes days. The whistleblower also stated that the infrastructure of the hotel is deteriorating and that the hotel is in danger of collapsing, but city officials are too afraid to evacuate the migrants. Melody, 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 that doesn't sound good at all.
Well, I'm not sure the buildings are going to collapse.
Well, it depends on what they're doing inside them. They could be destroying them.
Yeah, but I mean, these are supposed to be some fairly nice hotels that they're staying in, too. I'm sure some of them are dumps and maybe whatever, but I can't imagine that the buildings would be collapsing.
But even putting that aside, if that isn't happening.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying, yeah, they're destroying them.
I mean,
they're destroying them.
Free housing, free food, free laundry, free cell phones, free everything.
Free everything.
And here we sit. Ourselves sometimes wondering how we're going to keep the bills paid from month to month. Folks, there's something very wrong with that. Very wrong with that. And it's not just happening here in America, by the way. Do you remember it's been, what, 2-3 years ago when they started bringing in illegals from other countries into Europe, and they actually met them at the bus stops, whatever, and greeted them with open arms and
well, sure, that
them.
Was when they opened. That's when they did the European Union, and they
yes.
could, everybody could cross their borders. And
yep.
Germany got the butt of it all. And look at the problems that Germany was having.
That's we're going to share right now. Migrants stage payment protest outside London hotel, demanding private rooms and better Wi-Fi. Better Wi-Fi, more financial assistance, and private rooms were just some of the demands made by migrants who demonstrated outside the doors of the new hotel accommodation in upscale residential area of central London on Thursday. The group of adult men, many of whom arrived in Britain illegally in small boats via the English Channel, with a few claiming asylum, used their suitcases to barricade the front doors to the Pimlico Comfort Inn and staged a pavement protest outside what they consider to be offensive living standards afforded to them by the British government. Now, folks, when they say British government, put in their British taxpayer. The group was recently transferred from a hotel in Ilford, Essex, but told reporters that their new accommodation was not to their taste, Melody, and refused to return to their rooms until they are each provided with private accommodation. They said, "We're going to move you to another better place." They gave us this postcard. When we checked on Google Maps, we saw, "Oh, this is very nice." But when you get it, it's like a jail, and they treat you very, very bad. They treat you like an animal. A 21-year-old Iranian national who arrived in Britain via small boat told the Telegraph newspaper. Some complained that they had previously been assigned two people to a room. My gosh, man! Can you imagine two people to a room? Gee.
Terrible. But
we're now expected to share an ensuite room with three others. The group also bemoaned the smell from the toilet and poor internet access. We're not kids. Everybody had a private room. We need a private room. How do you live with four men? A local resident who lives close to the hotel told Remix, I live very close to the hotel, 3 or 4 minutes away in London, and the scene yesterday really was bizarre. Lots of migrants sitting on the street outside the hotel said they would not go back in as the taxpayer-funded accommodation was substandard. You know, that's what you get when you feed them for free. It's like feeding a bunch of hogs for free every day. You feed them for free long enough, they're going to expect every day. And if they don't get it, they're going to get very upset. Same thing with welfare in our country, Melody. Same thing as the welfare in our country, the story of our country. We give them everything for free for so long, they think now it's their right to have it. That's a fair statement, right?
It is. And, you know, whenever they cut back on a program, they just create another one. You know, so
that's it.
It's just, yeah.
Well, we went way too far in the wrong direction to reverse it now, I'm afraid. But, when you feed something long enough, you know, they'll demand it. I mean, that's all there is to it. But now we have them in cities like New York City, literally destroying public property, tearing apart police cars, everything else, and they're allowed to run scot-free. And they're bemoaning the fact that they got everything free, and they're actually having orgies and drug scenes in these motels. Sometimes up to 10 children per room for days and no parents. And the cops are so afraid to even go in the motel to get those 10 kids because the kids are high on drugs. There you go.
Well, just wait until there's a shooting.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And that's coming, I'm afraid. It's coming. I pray.
Well,
not.
I hope not. But there something's going to break.
Oh, it's going to break. Wait till the people in the city themselves get mad enough to start doing something. It's going to break. It's like a powder keg. It's going to get hot enough. It's going to blow. We know that, and I do believe that's part of what they want to happen. I truly do. Why else would they continue to let it happen if they didn't want this to happen? Any comments on that, Ms. Mayo?
No, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's just, it just baffles me. It just, why the people in this country aren't the ones that are not outraged. Oh, I just remembered that, Butch. We need them here to do the jobs that the Americans don't want to do. Remember that?
Of course. And they're working hard in that motel, too.
You know,
they're working hard in the motel. They're working hard.
That's why they need to come. That's why we need them so much to do those jobs.
Oh, boy, boy, boy. Well, anyway, if people are getting angry, and I'm one of them.
And you know what? I get worn out with that statement that we need them because Americans won't do those jobs. My question is, why won't Americans do those jobs?
And my question is, why aren't they doing the jobs? We're paying them here for nothing. I don't know.
No, my question is, why aren't Americans doing these jobs that we need to bring in all of this illegal immigration to do those jobs?
Because
why aren't Americans doing it?
We're on welfare, too. That's a problem. Yeah. Our people on welfare, too. Why should they work?
Yeah, true.
It's a mess. But on maybe some good news here, WSJ says Fed wants to skip June rate hike, which would be bad, it says. I'll read to you and explain what it says. The title above says it all. The Fed wants you to know they may not hike rates in June and maybe not even in July either. But they do not want you to call it a pause. To call it that implies hikes may be permanently put on hold. They wish to call it a skipped hike. In this way, they convey there will almost definitely be a continuation of the rate hikes regime as programmed soon. Fed wordsmithing implies either believe they mean what they say and they are trying to telegraph this to us, or you believe they are done hiking and are trying to remain tough looking. This is irrespective of the Fed actually being right in their assessments, which is not a given anymore or ever. Two Federal Reserve governors, in line with Fed Chair Jerome Powell's previous statements, expressed their support for skipping one rate hike in June rather than simply pausing rate hikes. This is likely an attempt by the Fed administration to convince her more of it's break time. Golly.
Oh, no.
Now go. We are. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as
That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert in metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And Butch, I didn't know if you wanted to say anything more about the rate hikes, because I do have something that I wanted to add.
Well, you go ahead. I was pretty much finished. I was going to ask your opinion on that anyway. But, yeah, I'm pretty much finished.
Well,
you go ahead.
The reason that they're going to be halting those rates, and they, folks want to sign up for our newsletter, I believe Dave wrote a little article about this also, is that there's a trillion-dollar treasury vacuum coming for Wall Street and what it is. And I haven't had a chance to really get in and brush up on this, but the U.S. Treasury is about to unleash a tsunami of new bonds to quickly refill its coffers. So this is going to be another drain on dwindling liquidity as bank deposits are raided to pay for it. And Wall Street is warning that markets aren't ready. So you can have this negative impact that could easily dwarf the after effects of previous standoffs over the debt limit. And The Federal Reserve's program of quantitative tightening has already eroded bank reserves while money managers have been hoarding cash in anticipation of the recession. So this could be a big whammy. So they really don't know how this is going to turn out and what kind of impact that it's going to have. But it's a trend. Together with the Fed tightening, will push the measure of liquidity down at an annual rate of 6% in contrast to annualized growth for most of the last decade, J.P. Morgan estimates. The U.S. has been relying on extraordinary measures to help fund itself in recent months. So the measures brokered between Biden and McCarthy limits the federal spending for 2 years. So anyway, the treasuries will kick off a borrowing spree that could top $1 trillion by the end of the third quarter. So I think that's why there's comments now about they're not sure about if they're going to raise rates or not. So
what do you mean when it says they're going to raid bank accounts? What's that mean?
Well, they have to. It's with the fractional reserve banking and so forth. And this is just saying what this is coming from the article. It's the bank deposits are rated to pay for it. So,
That didn't sound good in itself.
I don't think they're going to raid our deposits, you know, but I'm sure the banks, you know, with their overnight funding and their deposits and so forth. I mean, they have fractional reserve banking. So, you know, they're allowed to create, what, 9 times, 10 times with one mm-hmm. deposit. That's the money that they'll, you know, they'll be creating money again out of thin air. So,
of course, that'll help inflation.
But, I mean, it will have impacts on the stock market.
Of course.
And we know the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, government, you name it, if it's going to be negative for Wall Street, they will do whatever has to be done to prevent that from happening as long as possible. I mean, just like the overnight lending, I mean, that started back in September of 2019. It's still going on, but it was only going to happen for a couple weeks. And it was only going to be like $1 billion, and it went up to as high as a trillion. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's you just... That's how they're keeping this whole system going.
If they hadn't done that, the whole thing would collapse in. And that's just all
Probably.
There is to it.
Yeah.
Folks, this is all card tricks, smoke and mirrors. And one day they're going to run out of tricks. I do believe that. But this time makes us all feel better, too. Melly mentioned this last week, I think it was, week before last, that the FHA floats new program to use taxpayer cash to pay mortgages of delinquent homeowners. What else are they going to come up with to make freeloaders out of more people? What else can they do? Further proving we haven't learned our lessons from the free stuff era COVID relief that taxpayers funded and continue to pay for via out-of-control inflation, the government announced last week it's working on a way to reward people who don't pay their bills or help struggling homeowners meet their mortgage obligations. You know, Melody, I paid for my home for over 20 years. And I never in my life ever had anybody say, are you having a hard time paying your house payment? If you're late, we'll take care of it for you. Did you?
Not at all.
Never did. The program comes from the Federal Housing Administration, who posted a proposal for feedback on an initiative called the Payment Supplement Partial Claim, which, as the government press release says, would allow mortgage services to use the FHA partial claim both to bring homeowners' mortgage current and provide temporary deductions to the monthly mortgage payments for up to 5 years. Ironically, the department is citing high interest rates as a reason for implementing the program, stating the rapid and steep interest rate increases of the past year have limited the effectiveness of some of FHA's existing loss mitigation options in assisting borrowers. Interest rate hikes were, of course, due to out-of-control inflation, which was the result of government freebies for those who couldn't pay for the bills to begin with. So we do more of the same thing, because the same thing caused inflation last time with COVID. The same thing, giving away money, taking out taxpayers' pockets. No biggie. We'll do it again. This is going to help a lot of people for sure. It won't cause inflation. Everybody's going to be happy to hunky-dory. Melody Cederstrom.
Butch Paul. Pastor Butch Paul.
What can you say? I mean, how can you, they know. You can't tell me they don't know what they're doing. They know they're destroying the economy in this country. They can talk all they want to. They can talk about a concern for the people. They're not concerned about you and I. They're concerned about themselves. Any comments on that?
Nope. I mean, heck, they just passed the bill where, you know, people with a lower credit score and everything would have to pay less money getting into a home than someone who has that is actually working and worked hard and had a savings and, you know, is ready to put a down payment and so forth. So they're going to be paying higher fees. The higher your credit score, the more you're going to pay. It used to be the other way around. But, I mean, it used to start, too. Remember, you used to get deals when you paid with cash. Now you get penalized.
on it goes. Now, you're not going to believe this next one. You're not going to believe this next one. I mean, folks, it's you can look on our website. It'll be on a website in a day or two. Look under police state. You'll find it on there. And under health news, USDA now asking people to register their vegetable gardens for a national database. Now, these are supposed to be so-called community gardens, okay? In a move that has many folks scratching their heads, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has renewed this push for People's Garden Initiative, which now includes registering vegetable gardens nationwide. According to the USDA, the move is to foster a more diverse and resilient local food system to empower communities to address issues like nutrition, access, and climate change. But those who have been following the USDA closely for years know they couldn't care less about your health and nutrition. School gardens, community gardens, urban farms, and small-scale agricultural projects in rural, suburban, and urban areas can be recognized as a people's garden if they register on the USDA website and meet criteria including benefiting the community, working collaboratively, incorporating conservation practices, and educating the public. Now, doesn't that name, People's Garden, kind of give you a thought of the People's Republic of
warm
China?
Warm and fuzzy?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, more of a warm and fuzzy.
These standards essentially define every community garden in the country. Now the government organization that shells out billions every year to companies whose products, like high fructose corn syrup, are responsible for massive epidemic of obesity across the planet will have a database of them. I don't know what to say. I mean, they're coming now for the community gardens. They're going to control the little patches somebody's got out in a block in the town somewhere where they're trying to raise a few vegetables. They won't come in and help them. Well, they're going to help them. They're going to come in and give them free seeds and fertilizer. That's how it always starts, folks. They come in and give you some free stuff to entice you into the program. Then they end up telling you you can't raise that here because there's too much. It's too much of it already in circulation, and nobody wants it. You got to do it this way.
It damages
the
climate control. It's bad.
That's it.
Climate control.
Cabbage. Eating too much cabbage causes gas. So here we are. And speaking of gas.
Oh.
Ireland.
Petrol, you mean?
No, not that kind. Ireland plans to slaughter 200,000 farting cows to save planet from global warming. If this wasn't so serious and so sad, you'd have to laugh. It's almost like a comedy skit, is it not?
It is.
It really is. The globalist movement is targeting food production in the West, and of course the crooked officials are glad to assist. Government officials in the Netherlands, a major European food producer, shut down 3,000 productive farms to comply with global warming goals in November. And folks, the Netherlands is one of the biggest, second biggest, I think, in the world for food production. So what are they doing? They're shutting down their farms. Now, there's nothing behind that. This is all for the sake of saving the planet. And they want no way of controlling your food. They don't want you to anybody starve to death. They're doing this for the betterment of all of us. Aren't they, Melody?
Of course. They only have our best interest in heart.
Of course. In December, Germany ordered farmers to slice fertilizer after the Dutch farms were shut down to comply with global warming standards. And this week, Irish lawmakers are pushing to a plan to kill 200,000 cows to reach their global warming goals. The Irish government is considering an initiative to significantly reduce the number of dairy cows in order to reach its climate change targets. A target of reducing emissions from farming in Ireland by 2030 has been set by the government. One proposal is to achieve this by reducing the national dairy herd by 10%, the equivalent of removing 65,000 cows a year for 3 years. Minister for Agriculture Charlie McCullough told Irish radio that station RTE Morning Ireland that a dairy vision group with farmer representatives has been looking into a range of options to reduce emissions on the farm. The Department of Agriculture has said a report outlining 200,000 reduction in dairy cows was a modeling document. Wow, 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 wow. And the people say, ho-hum, don't worry about it, the ball game's on. I mean, I don't know what else to say. The people that are letting it happen, the government isn't big enough to make everybody do it if they didn't comply with them. There are not enough people in the government to do that. But we let 500-some people in Washington, D.C. dictate to our whole nation what we got to do, or 100 or two in the state dictate to the whole state what they have to do. So why are we complaining? We're the ones that sit back and let it happen. Mel, any comments on that?
No, we do. We're so busy with our lives.
That's true.
You know, it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting because somebody was telling me today how they're, you know, creating these, bringing in these new games for people to play, you know, for entertainment. And it's like, how much entertainment do we need? And it's just to keep people busy. And it's you know, we're just so sidetracked. Everybody just wants to have a good time. That's it.
Now, I went to the dentist a couple weeks ago, and so it's all ladies. And a very nice lady dentist, very good dentist, by the way. But I was checking out, making an appointment to go back and see him for a tooth filling sometime later this year. There were six ladies in the office oval there, including the dentist who was talking to me and the receptionist who was talking to me also, setting the appointment up. There's four of the ladies there. And guess what they were all doing? They weren't talking to each other. Every one of them had their phone out scanning on the phone. Mm-hmm. No one holding conversation. No one saying anything to anybody. They're all sitting there scanning down their phone, you know, flipping the pages, whatever you want to call that, on the telephone. Mm-hmm. So we've lost so much because it's something as simple as a cell phone. We lost communications. We've lost everything. Families go out to eat together, don't even talk together. They're on the phones. This is America today. Californians spend billions on homelessness with little to show for it. The state of California and various municipalities are spending billions of dollars to address the growing problem of homelessness, but with little to show for the effort, according to the Wall Street Journal. In a front page expose, the Journal reported Saturday that efforts to clear homeless encampments and provide shelter for their residents are hampered by bureaucracy and the refusal of many residents to move indoors. Mel, if they don't live inside the house, that's your business, right?
Right.
Why should I pay for them someplace to live? If they want a place to live, why should let them live what they want? The number of homeless people in California grew by 50%, Mel Day, between 2014 and 2022. The state, which accounts for 12% of the U.S. population, is about half of the nation's unsheltered homeless, an estimated 115,000 people, according to federal and state data last year. It also has among the highest average rent and medium home price payments in the U.S. So they have 12% of the population, account for 50% of, make sure we get this right, and have over half the homeless in our state, with only 12% of the population. That should say something about California folks itself. California spent a record $17 billion combating homelessness in the past four fiscal years. Voters in Los Angeles and San Francisco, which have some of the largest homeless populations in California, were unhappy enough about it to approve taxes costing billions of dollars to fund anti-homelessness programs and housing in recent years. So far, cost of overruns and delays has left little to show for the money. So Los Angeles and San Francisco actually voted to tax themselves more to pay for shelter for the homeless. It's not doing much good, and a lot of them don't want to live inside. That's kind of like force feeding a horse. You just can't do that. They don't want it. They're not going to eat it. Melanie?
I don't know. I can't remember which city this was in, but it was, there was a long string or along a street, or maybe it was by the railroads or something like that, where these homeless people get these wrecked RVs. And they just line them up so close together that they can't be towed away. Most of them don't have engines, so they can't drive them away. And these people are living in there, and the city's trying to, you know, pull them all out and, you know, and so forth, but they're having a hard time. My question is, how does that even happen to begin with?
I agree.
You know, you would think if the city would start seeing, you know, two, you know, RVs that are, you know, look like they've, you know, been in a wreck or two, that they would have started to break it up at that point in time. And I don't know. It's just, where are these people in their brains? These city governments and everything, all they think about is, a lot of it is, like here in Ocean City, bringing games to the people. So, I don't know. It's nuts. We'll be right back.
We may lose. We may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in. So take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. I'm Melody Cederstrom with Pastor Butch Paul. And let's go on a cheerier note. No more gloom and doom. But actually, it's not gloom and doom, Butch. It's just reality.
It's actual news that's happening.
It's not doom and doom. It's the things that are out there. Yeah.
It's like telling people their house on fire, get out. It's not doom and gloom. It's trying to save their lives.
Exactly. And it's just the reality of what is happening around the United States, and these homeless communities, and they're just everywhere. They're growing and they're growing, and you know, the drug use, you know, state after state is now beginning to legalize all kinds of drugs, marijuana. Some states are doing the harder stuff, and look at what's happening to them.
Yep.
People think this is a great thing to legalize drugs. It's like, are you out of your mind? I've been fighting that. I can't tell you, Butch, how many arguments I've had with people. Well, let's take the money out of it, and you won't have a problem. No.
Doesn't work that way.
Doesn't work that way. Sure, Nancy Reagan's Just Say No didn't work, but did it? Worked a lot better then than what's happening now. But then when you do have the government in on it, open borders, it's just...
And government officials and law enforcement getting kickbacks on it.
Yeah, exactly. That's, I mean, true. This is the state of affairs, and people have a tendency just to focus on, you know, one or two things. It's like, no, the heart, the darkness never gets discussed, rarely.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
And
So what good news were you going to share with us?
Today is June 5th,
okay.
And we're still here. That's good news. Yay.
The sun's shining here, so yeah, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. That's good news. Yeah.
You know, we just shared on the radio, I think, Friday. India is buying crude from Russia at record levels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Russia's selling all they can get out to China, to India, all over the world, actually. OPEC's fixing to cut their production by 1 million barrels a day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
You reckon that can make a difference in our gas prices?
No. Yes. Maybe.
It should bring it down. Uh-huh. No, anybody. Anyway.
No, it should make it go up.
That's what it's going to do, exactly. It's going to make it go up. Of course it is. But I just wonder why OPEC is cutting oil whenever it's the busiest time of year to use oil. Would that be part of the plan also?
Maybe.
Could they want prices up, you think? I mean, folks, Russia is supplying countries all around the world with oil, even in South America. Venezuelan patients buying oil from Russia. Their prices are, I won't say they're low, but much better than ours. And now OPEC's going to shaft us again. So there you go. It's just more stick it to the guy here in this country. Folks, our nation's been taken down piece by piece, thread by thread. It's falling apart. And we're seeing more provocations and war in Europe. We're seeing so many things happen now that we're getting involved in. We're going to see the F-16s to Ukraine, and they promise they will not go inside Russia with them.
Well, they already... That's so funny.
I mean, come on. China defends buzzing American warship and accuses U.S. of provocation. Well, no duh. China's defense minister defended sailing a warship across the path of an American destroyer and Canadian frigate transiting to the Taiwan Strait, telling a gathering of some of the world's top defense officials in Singapore on Sunday that such so-called freedom of navigation patrols are provocation to China. In his first international public address since becoming defense minister in March, General Li Shengfu told the Shangri-La dialogue that China doesn't have any problems with innocent passage, but that we must prevent attempts that try to use those freedoms of navigation, that innocent passage, to exercise hegemony of navigation. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin told the same forum Saturday that the Washington would not flinch in the face of bullying or coercion from China, would continue regularly sailing through and flying over the Taiwan Strait and the South China Sea to emphasize their international waters, countering Beijing's sweeping territorial claims. Okay, I can't tell you what's happening there. I don't know the ins and outs of that. But I know it's another place where tensions are building up. Melody, the pot is boiling inside our country. The pot is boiling all around our country, and it's boiling all over the world. Do you think there's any danger in that?
You know, I don't know what to say to that, Butch.
It's just people. We got to start thinking outside our four walls of our home, and our little tiny lives, our little world. We got to start thinking what's going on around the world and in our own country, for the sake of our children's futures. We can't just live in a shell and act like nothing's going to happen to us. We got to say something. Maybe we can't stop everything, but we can at least speak up. Everything changed. The war arrives on Russia's doorstep. Over the last 5 days of May, Ruslan, a 27-year-old English teacher in a Russian town near the Ukraine border, heard the distinct sound of multiple rocket launcher strikes for the first time. Shelling would begin around 3 a.m., sometimes shaking his house, and continue through the morning. He had heard the thud of explosions in distant villages in the past, he said, and in October shelling damaged a nearby shopping mall, but nothing like this. Everything changed, he said. 15 months after Russian missiles first roared toward Kyiv, residents of the Russian border region of Belgorod are starting to understand the horror of having war on their doorstep. And folks, that's coming to a neighborhood near you real soon also. Shcherbinko, a town of 40,000, 6 miles from the border, has effectively become a new part of the front line as Ukraine has intensified attacks inside Russia, including on residential areas near its own borders. When I thought they weren't going to go into Russia, I thought they promised they would not take F-16s inside Russia, but they're shelling cities inside Russia. The spat of assaults, most recently by militia groups aligned against Moscow, has sparked the largest military evacuation effort in Russia in decades. The town became a ghost town 24 hours, said Ruslan, who evacuated on Thursday after a sustained campaign of shelling. Americans have never, at least not since the war between the states, had shelling on its soil. That's about to change. Melody, comments on that?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I don't know how to describe what these people are going through. And I got to ask a question because I know, Melody, you're a highly intelligent individual. When Russia went into Ukraine, a year and a half ago, roughly, did you think of it, this would be still going on a year and a half later?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
And you thought Russia would be losing ground?
I know there's a lot of propaganda in it. I really don't know who's losing ground, who's gaining ground. It wasn't the whole thing, the way it started was just sort of bizarre. I mean, you had our country telling everybody that Putin was on the border and, you know, this was going to happen. And Zelensky was over there laughing it away, saying it's, you know, Russia's not going to do it. Well, because he knew he had the backup of the United States and he really didn't think Russia would probably go against the United States. So, I mean, the whole thing was bizarre. I mean, we had our government coming out and saying that, yeah, there's going to be a lot of false flags. You're going to hear all kinds of stuff coming from Russia. And, well, who do we know that does a lot of false flags and a lot of propaganda? It's our own government. I'm not saying Russia's not doing it, but we don't know who's doing what. So we really don't know what's going on over there.
We no longer have white and black areas. We have a lot of gray areas. It's hard to tell who's doing what. But so. I was afraid this might escalate into World War III, but I didn't think Russia would be this patient for so long. I really didn't.
We really don't know what's going on over there. And so forth. But again, China, they come out and say, hey, the U.S. would be, you know, if there was war with the U.S., it would be unbearable disaster.
Those are things, folks, I think are still in the making.
Friday we talked about how Xi was, telling his military group something is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare for worst case scenario. Now he comes out and says the U.S. would be an unbearable disaster. Jeez.
Yeah, there's so much going on. And now we have some senators, Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa, and Congressman Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin are asking, why are we sending $1.3 billion of U.S. taxpayer dollars to China and Russia? Why are we sending $490 million of U.S. grants to China, $870 million are paid to entities in Russia? They're supposed to be our enemies, right? Why are we giving them $1.3 billion? Just a question. I mean, our budget's pretty tight, isn't it? I mean, that's just a question, Melody. I mean, what do you think? You got comments on that?
No, sir.
And guess what? We're no longer unique. White supremacy now covers Mexicans, Indians, and blacks. There you go, folks. To the social justice obsessed left, omnipresent white supremacy is a boogeyman that infiltrates every aspect of life. This is literal. Mathematics. Now listen, folks, mathematics, punctuality, and the specific scientific method have all been decried at various times in recent history as tools of white supremacy. Gee. As I recently covered in Armageddon Prose, even waking up early is framed as a racist hate crime against BIPOCs. Now the white supremacist label is expanding to include Mexicans, Indians, and blacks. White supremacy is truly, as it were, a big tent ideology. With the deranged Mexican shot up in Texas Mall recently, the view token minority and Democrat operative Ana Navarro reminded everyone that blacks and Hispanics can be white supremacist terrorists as well. After Republican Tim Scott recently declared his candidacy for his party's 24 presidential nomination, the leftists have hive mind generated a canopy of predictable Uncle Tom smears against black conservatives. Systems of radical oppression and colonization require active participation from members of the oppressed group. This is certainly the case for black people who conspire with white supremacy. So there you go. Blacks are white supremacists, Mexicans are white supremacists, and Indians are white supremacists. There you go, Melody. See, I feel better now.
Oh, I do.
I mean,
so glad you explained that.
Gee. Oh, gee whiz. It's unbelievable. And now we have, from the north, record numbers of migrants coming across the border from the north. In states like, you know, up on the northern border are being hit with 1,300 migrants have been apprehended this year. That's more than double what they were all apprehended all last year. So we're seeing the north being infiltrated, too, by illegals. And some of them are from Mexico, so they go to Canada to come back through the northern border. I don't understand how to get to Canada in the first place, but nonetheless, these people are facing illegals coming across the border in record numbers from the north down now. Melody, I don't want to say. How did you get up here in the first place? That's a fair question, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I thought maybe you may have an answer. Mm-hmm. So, folks, this is America Today. Melody has tried for years to help you get yourself prepared for some financial stability. I wish you'd listen to her. I don't make a dime off this, folks. I don't sell gold and silver. Melody does. So I don't make a penny. I'm just telling you need to do this. If you don't call her up and ask some questions on what you can do, no matter how much you have, 800-375-4188, you're going to wait till it's too late. And then I don't want to tell you to do then. Melody, go ahead.
Well, did you hear that Cornel West announced he's running for president?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he's running for president as a candidate for the People's Party. And part of it, what he does say, he says, he claims that he cares more about the voters and their quality of life than other political parties. Neither political party wants to tell the truth about Wall Street, about Ukraine, about the Pentagon, about big tech. He says, do we have what it takes? We shall see. So, but, you know, he's a Harvard guy and a Princeton guy and so forth and whatnot. But it is interesting that he's not running as a Democrat. So he might be it might be kind of interesting to get him on a, of course, they won't allow him in any type of debate.
No.
But it would be interesting to see what he has to say or what he's going to say about Wall Street, Ukraine, and so forth. But we'll see if he gets any type of a voice out here. So just interesting.
Yes, it is.
800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe. Good night and God bless.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.